All right, so today we're diving into...
Diving.
Yeah, we're doing a deep dive into this research paper all about using quaternions.
Oh, yeah.
To model tectonic plate movement.
It's a good one.
It's a good one, yeah. It definitely gets into some pretty intense math, but we're here to break it down, you know, extract those golden nuggets for you.
Absolutely.
Make it, you know, as painless as possible.
Yeah, think of us like... your guides, you know, to this mathematical jungle.
Your translators for complex scientific ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
So before we even get into the specifics of this paper, though, let's make sure we're all on the same page about the basics, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about plate tectonics here,
right?
Which you already know about. But just to recap, you know, Earth's surface is broken up into these giant plates that are constantly shifting and bumping into each other.
Yeah, and what makes plate tectonics so groundbreaking is that it's the first like quantifiable model we've had for these movements, which means we can measure and test it, which is where the theoretical geometry comes in.
Okay, so that kind of sets the stage. Now, this paper introduces something called quaternions. I'll be honest, when I first saw that word, I thought, uh-oh, this is going to be rough.
It's a bit intimidating,
yeah. But bear with me because they're actually pretty cool once you get the hang of them.
Think of them as like a supercharged way to describe rotations in 3D space.
Okay.
Like, they're used all the time in things like video games.
Oh, really?
And animated movies to make those smooth, realistic movements.
Wait, seriously? So every time I see a character, like, do a backflip in a game, there's quaternions working behind the scenes.
You got it.
Wow!
They're the mathematical magic that makes it all possible.
Okay, that's way cooler than I expected.
Right.
So how do these quaternions actually, like, help us understand tectonic plates?
Well, one of the key things this paper tackles is the difference between finite and infinitesimal rotations.
Okay.
It even mentions, you know, spinning at an infinitesimal rate. Which sounds really abstract.
Yeah, that definitely tripped me up. It's like, how can something spin at a rate that's almost zero,
right?
But not quite?
Yeah.
What does that even look like?
It's one of those things that you know, mathematicians love to argue about. But for our purposes, what's important is the end result of the rotation.
Okay.
You know, we're talking about plates moving over millions of years. So focusing on those tiny theoretical increments isn't as useful as looking at the big picture.
So it's kind of like saying, who cares about the individual brushstrokes? Let's just appreciate the masterpiece.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's about using the math to model those large-scale changes over geologic time.
Okay. So how do they actually go about modeling the movement of these plates using these quaternions?
So the paper dives into... two main approaches. Yeah. And this is where it gets interesting because they kind of lead to different conclusions.
Okay.
The first approach is like breaking down the movement into tiny incremental steps.
Okay.
Picture it like creating a stop motion animation where each frame represents a small rotation.
Okay.
This helps us see how those little shifts can add up over time to create big changes.
Okay. I can see how that would be helpful for understanding, you know, how things evolve gradually.
Yeah.
What about the second approach?
The second approach is less about the individual steps.
Okay.
And more about the overall effect.
Okay.
It's like looking at the final position of a plate after millions of years and figuring out the total rotation it must have undergone.
Okay.
This method is better for understanding large-scale patterns and relationships between different plates.
So it's like comparing a detailed map of a road trip to a zoomed out view showing just the starting point and destination.
Perfect analogy.
Okay.
Each approach gives us a different piece of the puzzle.
Gotcha. Okay, now this is where the paper introduced a concept that really blew my mind. The migrating Euler pole, or MEP.
Oh, yeah.
So you know how when we picture a plate rotating?
Yeah.
We usually imagine it spinning around a fixed point.
Right, like a spinning top.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what if that point itself wasn't fixed?
Yeah.
What if it moved around? That's the idea behind the MEP.
Right. And it might sound strange, but it makes sense when you consider that we're talking about the relative motion between two plates that are both rotating.
Yeah.
Imagine you're on a swing set watching a merry-go-round.
Okay.
The center of the merry-go-round would appear to move from your perspective.
Right.
Even though it's actually fixed.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all about...
perspective.
Exactly.
I think I'm starting to get it. So the migrating Euler pole is a consequence of which reference frame we're using, like whose point of view we're taking.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered quaternions, different modeling approaches, and these mind-bending migrating poles.
Mm-hmm.
But how does this all actually translate to like understanding the Earth better? Does it actually help us solve real-world geological puzzles?
Absolutely, yeah. The paper gives us two really cool examples
okay.
of how these ideas can be applied.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more.
The first example takes us way back in time to the early Paleozoic era. Remember those supercontinents like Gondwana?
Oh, yeah, those massive land masses that eventually broke apart to form the continents we know today.
Exactly.
Hey.
So using these quaternion-based models, we can actually reconstruct how Gondwana and North America moved relative to each other, even though their individual points of rotation stayed fixed. It's like having a time machine for plate tectonics.
Wait, so even though those massive continents had fixed points of rotation, they were still moving around in relation to each other?
That's right. It's all about relative motion. Imagine two ice skaters spinning side by side. Each skater has their own axis of rotation, but they can still glide around each other in a complex pattern.
Okay, that makes sense. And I bet understanding those ancient movements can tell us a lot about things like mountain formation and the distribution of fossils, right?
Absolutely. It helps us connect the dots between those ancient movements and the geological features we see today.
So what about the second example?
This one is visually stunning. Have you ever seen those wavy sinusoidal patterns on the ocean floor? They're especially prominent between Africa and Madagascar.
I think I've seen images of those. They look almost like brushstrokes on a canvas.
Exactly. For a long time, geologists thought these patterns might indicate some major shifts in Earth's tectonic regime, like sudden changes in the direction of plate movement.
So like a dramatic shakeup in the Earth's system.
Right. But this paper shows that those complex patterns might actually be the result of a much simpler process. The interplay of absolute and relative rotations, along with that migrating Euler pole we talked about, in other words, those seemingly chaotic patterns, can emerge from the continuous ongoing dance of the plates.
So instead of a sudden earthquake-like shift, it's more like a slow, graceful waltz that's been playing out for millions of years.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It really challenges our assumptions about how dramatic changes occur in geology. Sometimes the most complex patterns arise from surprisingly simple continuous processes.
Wow, that's really making me rethink how I view the Earth's history. It's not just a series of cataclysmic events, but a constant, intricate dance of forces.
Exactly. And it's only by applying these advanced mathematical tools that we can truly appreciate the elegance and complexity of these movements.
You know, I can't help but wonder if we can model these past movements with such precision, could we also use this to predict future plate movements and potential hazards? I mean, imagine being able to anticipate earthquakes or volcanic eruptions.
That's a great question, and it's something that researchers are actively working on. The ability to forecast those events accurately is still a long way off, but these models are definitely a step in the right direction. By understanding the past, we can gain valuable insights into what might happen in the future.
It's mind-blowing to think about the potential implications. So beyond those specific examples, what are some of the broader takeaways from this research? What does it tell us about the nature of scientific discovery itself?
I think one of the biggest takeaways is the power of interdisciplinary collaboration. It's not just geologists making these discoveries about the Earth. It's mathematicians providing the tools and frameworks to unlock those secrets. It's like they're speaking different languages. But when those languages come together, amazing things can happen.
I love that analogy. And it seems like this research is also a testament to the importance of constantly questioning our assumptions. We often rely on simplified models to explain complex phenomena, but sometimes those models need to be challenged and refined.
Absolutely. It's easy to get stuck in old ways of thinking, but science is all about pushing boundaries and seeking new perspectives. And sometimes that means embracing new tools and ideas, even if they seem intimidating at first.
Okay, so we've talked about the past and the future, but what about the present? Are there any practical applications for this research right now?
Absolutely. One area where this knowledge could be really useful is in resource exploration. If we can better understand the history of plate movements, we might be able to predict where certain geological formations, like those containing oil or minerals, are likely to be found.
So instead of drilling exploratory wells all over the place, which is expensive and can be environmentally damaging, we could use these models to make more targeted and informed decisions.
Exactly. It's about making exploration more efficient and sustainable. And beyond resource exploration, this knowledge could also be applied to things like understanding climate change. Plate tectonics plays a crucial role in shaping the Earth's surface and ocean currents, which in turn influence long-term climate patterns.
This is all incredibly fascinating. It sounds like this research is opening up a whole new world of possibilities for using math to understand and even predict Earth's behavior.
It really is. It's a great example of how abstract mathematical concepts can have real-world applications and lead to groundbreaking discoveries.
Before we wrap up our deep dive, I do have one more question. The paper mentions something called the plate circuit, which seems to be a key concept in plate tectonics. Can you explain what that is and why it's so important?
Of course. The plate circuit is essentially a mathematical relationship that describes how the movements of multiple plates are interconnected. It's like a giant complex puzzle where each piece is constantly shifting and influencing its neighbors.
So it's not just about individual plates moving independently, but rather a system of interconnected movements that affect each other.
Exactly. The movement of one plate can trigger a cascade of effects throughout the entire system. A beautiful example of how interconnected our planet truly is.
It's like a delicate dance where every step influences the next. And understanding that intricate choreography is key to understanding the Earth as a whole.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
The plate circuit provides a mathematical framework for understanding how those pieces fit together and how they move as a whole.
This deep dive has been truly mind-expanding. But before we get too carried away, I do want to acknowledge that these models, as sophisticated as they are, still have their limitations, right?
Of course. The Earth is an incredibly complex system, and these models, while they incorporate a lot of detail, still involve simplifications and assumptions. For example, the Earth isn't a perfect sphere, and the plates themselves aren't perfectly rigid.
So there's always going to be a degree of uncertainty when we're trying to model these processes.
That's right. And another challenge is the availability of data. To create accurate models, we need precise measurements of plate movements, which can be difficult to obtain, especially for events that happened millions of years ago.
It's like trying to reconstruct a giant puzzle with some of the pieces missing. But despite those challenges, it seems like this research represents a significant step forward in our ability to understand and model plate tectonics.
I completely agree. These quaternion-based models are giving us a much more nuanced and accurate picture of how the Earth's surface has evolved over time.
It's like we're getting a clearer view through a more powerful lens. Okay, This has been absolutely fascinating, but I think my brain needs a little break to process all this incredible information.
I hear you. It's a lot to take in, but that's what makes this research so exciting. It's pushing the boundaries of our understanding of our planet.
Okay, phew, I think I finally caught my breath. For a second there, I thought I was going to get sucked into a quaternion vortex.
I know, it's wild, right? Like, who knew something that seems so abstract could actually tell us so much about the planet?
Right, exactly. So as we wrap up this deep dive into this research, I want to bring it back to you, the listener. Like, what's the one thing you should take away from all of this?
For me, the biggest takeaway is just that the Earth is in constant motion, you know, even if it's happening over time scales that are like way beyond what we can normally picture. These continents, you know, they seem solid, but they're really in this intricate dance that's been going on for billions of years.
Yeah, it's almost like we're living on this giant slow motion merry-go-round, right?
Exactly. And even those seemingly fixed points, like those poles of rotation, they're still moving in relation to each other. It's all relative.
It really is. And I think it's amazing how we need these complex mathematical models, like these ones with quaternions, to even begin to grasp the full scope of how much the Earth is changing.
Absolutely. And it's funny, right? We often think of math as this cold, hard set of rules.
Yeah.
But it can actually reveal these hidden patterns, you know, like the elegance of how nature works.
Yeah, for sure. It's like math is the language that lets us unlock these Earth secrets.
Totally.
So for you listening, next time you see a mountain range or you're at the coast, try to think about the forces that shaped all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It took millions of years. Mm-hmm. And even the ground we're standing on, it's part of this massive dance that we're just starting to understand.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
It really is. Well, this has been an amazing deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's been fun.
We'll catch you next time for another fascinating exploration of the world around us.